Welcome to the Security Sessions podcast, brought to you by Talist and hosted by me, Nera Jones. In this podcast series, we'll be discussing the technologies, people, and processes behind information security and delving into topics like data security, remote access, and digital transformation. We'll be speaking to Talist and industry experts to bring you fresh perspectives on how to navigate the world of cloud security. Today, we have episode 4, time for the crystal ball, what to expect in 2021. So first of all, I would like to wish all of you a very happy new year. I'm sure it won't be difficult for 2021 to be better than 2020. So in this episode, we'll be reviewing how 2020's remote working, separation from family and teams have changed us and the general business landscape. Today, I have two fantastic guests, Ashwin Kamaraju, Head of Engineering and Technology Strategy at Talist, and Troels Oerting, Chairman at the World Economic Forum Global Center for Cybersecurity. So welcome to both of you, and I'm going to ask you to very briefly introduce yourselves. Ashwin.
Thank you, Nora, and Happy New Year to you and to all the listeners. My name is Ashwin Kamaraju, and as you introduced me, I'm the Head of Engineering and Technology Strategy for the Talist Cloud Protection and Licensing Business Unit. So I manage a portfolio of encryption and identity and access management products. And this portfolio of products addresses our device to cloud strategy. I have over a decade of experience in security, starting with my tenure at a company called Vormetric. And this company was acquired by Talist in 2016. Prior to that, I worked for a number of years on enterprise storage software and operating systems.
Thank you, Ashwin. And Troels, I mean, of course, I introduced you with one of your job titles. You have many, many arrows to your bow. I'll let you introduce yourself very briefly.
Thank you very much, Naira. And I also want to thank everybody for inviting me, and also Happy New Year. I'm an old guy. So I've been in this business since 1980, and I'm a law enforcement educated person and used to be a police chief in Denmark, as you can probably listen to my accent and recall. And what I did was that I've been the head of the equivalent to the FBI in Denmark. I've also been the head of operations in the Danish equivalent to the CIA. Then I've been a deputy director in Europol. I've been responsible for counterterrorism and organized crime. And then at a certain point, the European Parliament and the Commission, they decided to make a feasibility study in order to see if we should have a dedicated European agency to combat cybercrime. And the outcome was we should, the European Cybercrime Center. And I was so lucky to be asked to set that center up and to be its leader for the first 4 years. And after that, I went to Barclays and I became CISO, and later I became chief security officer for a team of approximately 3,000 people trying to defend the 50 million customers, that was the 51 million customers we had in the 148,000 various employees. And now I've set up the Center for Cybersecurity in the World Economic Forum, where I'm so privileged to be the chairman of the board. And I hope to be able to retire not in too distant future. Thank you.
Thank you both. Impressive CVs. So to kick us off, what are the key challenges your customers and partners are set to face this year? And I'll start with you, Troels.
You know, my customers, or what we could say the partners, is basically everybody in the world. So we in the World Economic Forum, we partner up with the biggest companies, but also with governments and academia. And I think that you have one thing in common, that is that the biggest challenge is basically to keep up with the development of the digital transformation. So it's about choosing the right tools, choosing the right tools that also have, security by design, but also privacy by design. And it has to have, you know, availability, affordability, and convenience. And to actually click and tick on all these boxes is extremely difficult. And I think that is the biggest challenge for the majority of companies these days. It's also to be able to run everything online and then also be relatively sure that you can keep your data secure and you can keep trust to your customers and with your customers. So I think it's actually a very complex job that the various companies have, because the demand for the digital transformation is enormous. And we all, especially after the pandemic, want everything to be delivered online and to work online and to order online, to train online, to trade online, to do everything online, but safe and secure.
Absolutely, and especially as our world is becoming ever so much more connected, faster, digital, distributed, it's an incredible challenge. Ashwin, what have you observed in your community of customers and partners?
Yes, great points. Similar observations. Speaking with our customers and partners and government agencies, for sure the pandemic put digital transformation on steroids. While we were all preparing the journey of transformation, it's been accelerated at an incredible pace. And that in turn puts pressure on our customers to migrate their applications, workloads, and data to the cloud and begin transformation of their products into services. And this in turn leads to a much broader attack surface. Data is now spread everywhere, right? It's on premise, it's in public cloud, at home. How do you protect against a breach? That's a big challenge. Also, there are a growing number of data privacy regulations. We have the California Privacy Act that went into effect beginning of this year. GDPR, with all the new rulings such as the Schrems II that poked a hole in the Privacy Shield Act, a lot of these issues that companies and cloud service providers are having to deal with. And with more homes now using smart devices, from home will create new threat vectors. Home networks are meeting corporate networks, whether it's discussing sales figures, business strategy, or product development, including details of the company's IP. This information could be valuable if it falls into the wrong hands and is sold to rivals. So these are all some of the challenges all of us collectively are grappling with. Shortage of talent, I want to call that out, with security becoming so important and there's a shortage of talent here. How will we address this challenge? And either by training, either by curriculums in colleges, so we have a good pool of employees who are, you know, well-educated on the best practices of security, security by design, and such. That's another very important challenge to take on by everyone in the industry.
Absolutely. And thank you. And on that point, in terms of shortage of talent, of course, in the cybersecurity industry, this is something we have been discussing for a long time. And there is a point that has been made many times by many security professionals in terms of the difficulty to actually enter the industry, and that people are really, really willing to enter the cybersecurity industry, but perhaps not able to for various reasons. So can we expect to see more opportunities, training opportunities and education for people who'd like to join the industry but don't necessarily have or think they have the qualifications to do so? Because I personally believe it's a very diverse industry. So Trolls, what's your view on this?
It's a great point, actually. And I think that, that there will be a number of solutions, hopefully, in the future. In the forum, we have actually made a track on this specifically, because we realize that we are, I think, approximately 2.4 million people short in cybersecurity right now. So we have worked with Salesforce and Fortinet to build actually an online platform for educating everybody. And I think that we have had more than 5 million people going through that education, not all of the education levels, but some of the education levels. And that is an online training that applies to everybody, also those who maybe not be fit for university training, but they have, you know, the talent and they might have other skills. So I think that is one of the areas that we will try to boost much more, that we will have people giving them available education possibilities that is also relatively cheap and maybe even cost-free. And then after certification, then they can go at least to level one, maybe go to the incident response team, and then you are inside a company and you can move on. The second thing I think that will change this is that because we have now been able to work from anywhere, then in the old days, when you were a company and you wanted to recruit somebody, you could recruit people in a radius of, let's say, 30 kilometers or miles from your office because people don't want to transport that much. In this new reality where you can work from home and work from anywhere, you actually have the globe, you know, where you can attract people and the best talent. And that might then give us some kind of possibilities to recruit from areas where, you know, there are more talent than there are businesses and shops. And then last but not least, I think that you will also see automation of a lot of security tools and coding in the lower end that will relieve people from doing more manual work, which will be done by automation and AI and coding robots. And then you will have fewer people, hopefully, to look into how to actually compile that. But again, we are facing an industry where we expect that there will be 55 billion devices connected to the internet in 2027. 80% of those devices will not speak to a human being, but machine-to-machine communication. So there needs to be a very, very strong security regime and very strong standards for that also. So I don't think that we will probably be able to have the adequate amount of staff ready for 2027. But I think that you will see an uptick in the possibilities of actually reaching this. And then you also see that a number of companies are now choosing cloud as their preferred solution. And if you choose that cloud, you sometimes also get some of your security built in that cloud package. And then we have also encouraged smaller companies to use SMEs and other ones to have services that are doing your security, so you don't need to do that in-house in your company. But it is still not a challenge that we completely have actually dealt with. So you were right, Ashwin, to highlight that.
Absolutely, and I think it's all our responsibility to actually raise awareness of this industry, which is quite fascinating, I have to say. So I want to pick up on the point that you've both made in terms of technology. So Ashwin, you mentioned a digital transformation forcing many organizations to move to the cloud. Charles, you mentioned hyperconnectivity and IoT and machine-to-machine connectivity. So on that front, what technologies do you expect to rise to the fore this year and in the coming years, or indeed disappear? So Ashwin, starting with you.
Sure. So I think it's a continuum of what we have already seen in the past few years. There's a long maturity curve for some of these technologies to gain mainstream adoption. So that'll be the trend. But I do want to call out a few. First is deception technology, right? This is gaining momentum in the cybersecurity. If folks are familiar with the honeypot technology, the deception technology is an evolution of that, less expensive to deploy. And using this deception technology, businesses are now going to be on the offensive and taking the fight to the attackers, right? So you create fake credentials, fake high-value targets, and attract the attackers and trap them and expose them. So this is going to be an offensive strategy that many corporations will start to implement. And more broadly, we are moving at warp speed with regards to technology changes. Physical security meets digital security in many ways, whether it's your passports or driver's licenses or any number of identity government-issued identity verification documents. And we'll begin to see strides in identity verification and managing digital identities. 5G networks, we've been talking about it for a while. It's here. Some countries have further along than the others. It is a game changer. When it all comes together between devices and networks and carriers and MNOs, it enables huge paradigm shifts, right? Such as smart cities, edge computing, and several applications which require significant network bandwidth. And with the availability of more bandwidth, work from home employees can experience a more immersive experience with augmented reality built into collaboration software. So AI, machine learning, natural language processing will all continue to evolve and provide deeper insights into the data and provide more intelligence. The AI researchers will continue to make strides and address some of the systemic issues with AI, such as bias, right? So that's going to continue to get better and better. Also, as Charles mentioned, with the proliferation of IoT and so many connected devices, consumers want to know how their data is being used by the device makers. So I was reading recently that there are initiatives underway in academia and industry to have a privacy label on the devices. Similar to a nutrition label for food, the label will display the security status of the device, its data practices, and privacy policy. So these are some of the events and technologies that's going to shape the next decade.
Fascinating point, Ashwin. And Trolls, what's your take on this?
But I can echo lots of what Ashwin actually said. I think that when you look at the landscape, we in security, we are facing, let's say, challenges in security, and that could be both in IT security, but I would also say that there is a convergence with physical security, and a lot of hackers also, you know, sneak into a building to intercept and to get access to whatever tools they can. So it's security, it's privacy, and it's integrity, and I'll come back to integrity a bit later. I can echo what Ashwin said. I think there are four what we call super drivers right now in the forum, and they are 5G mobile, which is needed for automation and for everything that we need to do in the automated world, smart cities and things like that. So that's also a reason why the US and China is fighting about, you know, the world domination of the 5G protocol. Secondly, IoT, as I've mentioned before, there'll be a huge, I would say that to boil it down, everything will be connected, everything will be sensing, everything will be stored, and everything will be used and be intelligent. And that is the new normal also. And we will see that with smaller devices, smaller batteries. So we will be, you know, collecting things from all over also in the public. And then your cloud computing will also increase, and we think we'll see a selection amongst the cloud providers in the future. And they will be able to actually scale up very, very cheap storage availability all over the world. So everything that you get from more devices, mobile devices, more IoT can be stored in cloud. And then last but not least, AI will then be used to get a meaning out of all of that. So that is let's say, the new normal that you will say that you will get more of these devices. And then, of course, there will be challenges how to control this and what should you choose and how should you figure what way and what path to run here. And integrity, as Ashwin also mentioned, I think is a novel thing for companies to consider. We've always looked at who will steal our data, who will ransomware us, who will DDoS us, who will take PII and whatever. But I don't think that the majority of companies have had a look into the digitalization of everything that we used to get in envelopes in old days. So as proof of your job, that if you apply for a new job, you will put normally in the old days, a document of your certificate from the university, a salary slip or whatever, all kinds of documentation that you are qualified for that job. The same if you open a bank account or you want to have a mortgage or a loan, or if you want to prove something for accountants or whatever, or if you want to make a claim to insurance company, you have to attach documents for that, either invoices, photos that you had this in your apartment, your bicycle, or whatever it is, or an expensive watch. All of this is now a digital asset, and everything will be processed by a digital asset lines. And how will you be able now to check the integrity of my documentation? Do I really have this education that I claim, or is it just something that I have invented? What about the invoice for what has been stolen or whatever? And I don't think that we have really been looking into this new stream of things that we use as proof for something. And I think that that will be a pressure also on security. How can we as companies be sure that what we see is also right and what we read is also right? So I think that is a novel thing that we will have to look into in 2021. And then on top of that, we will see more of what we have always seen now. And basically, because of the lack of trust between law enforcement and the geopolitical tensions, we do not catch any criminals anymore. So it's risk-free to be a cyber criminal. And that will, of course, also boost and fuel the level of cyber crime. So I cannot, you know, come with really optimistic, forecast here. But on the other side, again, if we go back to basic and to cyber hygiene, I think that we can actually filter out 80% of the majority of our problems.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Thanks, Charles. And in fact, I'm glad you mentioned integrity, because in the security world, all too often we preach by CIA confidentiality, integrity, and availability, but more or less we very, very often concentrate mainly on confidentiality and availability. And integrity in itself is a very big problem, because, you know, at the extreme, it can often, it can even destabilize economies. So, which brings me to my next question, in terms of can we expect to see any new cybersecurity threats or new types of attacks? Trolls, you mentioned integrity attacks coming to the fore, and I think we should be prepared for that. Certainly, it is part of our DNA as security professional to look at that. But Ashvid, what's your take on this? New attacks, new threats, new vectors, or just more of the same?
Oh, we should always expect new types of attacks and threats, and of course, a continuation of what is already known. Attack tools will continue to evolve and become more and more sophisticated. Hackers will show resolve, and they use a combination of attack tools never used before to thwart detection. So in the recent attack on FireEye, I mean, that's the company that goes and does all the forensics of a breach and helps companies be safe and secure. There was an attack on FireEye, and the software tools used to test their customer cybersecurity defenses were attacked. So that's new. If those tools are compromised, then imagine the damage at all the different companies where those tools are deployed. So that's sort of a evolution of the sophistication of an attack. It's just an example. Uncertainty caused by the pandemic will likely be a big driver in the cyber threats. Anytime there is uncertainty and there's money, that's a big target. threat actors generally increase their activities. I think about the logistical challenge of distributing the vaccines. The entire supply chain is vulnerable to cyber attacks, to ransomware attacks, maybe even physical security attacks. So I think that, the sophistication of the bad actors and the attacks will always continue to evolve. And the good actors like us, we have to be on the offensive and defense in trying to protect ourselves against those attacks. So expect more.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Ashwin. So on that front, as we look at our changing world this year, and now that we've had time to digest and perhaps modify our processes and infrastructures, and we're now looking that people may be going back to the office, or they may decide to remain working from home, and companies now have to adjust to that on a permanent basis. So what can we expect for the future of working? What will change? What do we need to adapt? Trolls, any views on the subject?
Thank you, Naira. Good questions again. And I think that at least our observation in the forum is that we don't think that we will go back to the time before the pandemic. And we don't think that we will stay in the way we are doing work now. We think it will blend in. So the modern worker today or tomorrow will actually work both in an office or an office somewhere and from home, but also from anywhere. You know, I think that many of people employed have now learned to work from home, from their summer houses. They rent places in remote places, and they work from anywhere. And I think this is what we will continue to see. And because of this, as Ashwin also mentioned, the attack vector, you know, the surface is much broader now, and that needs also to be considered by the companies. But that will be the new normal, so we have to consider that. And I must also say that while we have been able to move 1.2 billion people out of offices and working from home, which I think was a huge achievement by the companies, and also done relatively safe, we have of course seen an uptick in crime, especially in inside ransomware, because our availability of the internet has increased, because this is the only tool we have to keep the wheel spinning, so to say. But the problem we have seen is that we haven't really felt the pain from the criminals. They were also taken by surprise by the pandemic, and they have just had an uptick in more of the same. But I think that they are planning new ways of exploiting this new normal. So we haven't really seen the full effect on the crime on that. And then, as Ashwin also said, you know, there is no absolute security in cyberspace, like there is no absolute security in physical space. So when we see FireEye hack, which is one of the best, then again, it's just a reminder that the threat is rather big. But on the other side, we have to remind ourselves that we are not all in the hair cross of Russian or American or Chinese intelligence, luckily, but only by organized crime. And they don't want to invest a dollar to steal 50 cents. So again, here, if you keep up your security basic cyber hygiene, and you look at both tech, but also people and also processes, I'm still optimistic that we will be able then to continue to do this work and to also try to see if we can get more out of the internet and more growth and more democracy. And last but not least, I think that we have to consider integrity also. Can you hack opinions? Can we use the internet to change democracy and change elections? And I think that's something that we have to consider, not maybe so much as companies and corporations, but more as individuals and citizens and governments. And I think that is a big future challenge as well.
Yes, very good point. And I like your description, Trolls, of it's not just working from home, it's actually working from anywhere. And I remember seeing last year an ad from one of the Caribbean islands offering preferential tax rates to go and move there because people can work remotely. That sounded like a very expensive proposition. So, Ashwin, in terms of the new way of working, what other insights can you share with us?
Excellent points made by Charles and your observations as well, Naira. Not too much more to add. Definitely, it's going to be a new norm. We are never going to go back to the ways in which we worked pre-pandemic days. So work from home, work from anywhere, partially working from the office, all of those will sort of create a hybrid or smart working type of paradigms. What I think is the biggest challenges to overcome in the shift is the trust between employers and employees. I think employers, for the most part, want to bring employees back to work. I tend to see that employees are saying, hey, it all works great. We are super productive. See what we have accomplished in 2020. So why do we need to get back to the office? That's a sort of a ongoing dialogue and discussion that'll shape the future of working. When everything is shut down and employees are nothing else to do but work, it's no wonder that the productivity is great this year. But what happens when all the other distractions open up? Your bars are open, your restaurants are open, your happy hours are open, your birthday parties are open. Will the employees working from home be as productive as they were or are during the pandemic? That's a question that we ponder upon. It's for sure a big change. We must all adapt and get used to. I think this also has a broader impact on commercial real estate and how the office spaces and sprawling campuses that we're used to today are going to be reshaped. So that's going to be a different impact on the commercial real estate industry.
Yeah, absolutely. All most excellent points, Ashwin. And I think also we have to consider it depends on the culture of the organization, because of course, if you look at some industries, for example, in financial services, you will find the digital neobanks and fintech startups who have started by only having remote employees, and obviously they are very, very well placed to carry on in this digital way of working. And perhaps those that indeed have invested in large real estate capabilities, they will struggle a bit because it's a new way of working and it's a new culture, which is not necessarily digital at the outset. And I think it's also probably a question of demographics. I mean, people as old as me probably will feel that they'd like to go to the office, and the younger generation maybe like prefer to work remotely. But we'll see what this year and the coming years will bring. I'm afraid that's all we have time for, but before I let you go, I'm going to ask each one of you for your top tip for 2021 for our listeners, starting with you, Trolls.
Thank you very much. I think that one of the learning points I've had during my long life is that culture eats strategy for breakfast, and that we need to make sure that we have embedded security, privacy, and integrity in what we do now. That is one learning point that I've had. And then I think that we in security, we should not promote fear, but we should protect hope. And we should do everything we can to unite a coalition of the willing instead of looking at those who doesn't want to help. And then we will together, we'll be able to also prevail and to do something better. And we will be able to have a relatively bright future also, despite pandemic and cybercrime and all other things.
Absolutely. Very wise. Thank you, Trolls. And Ashwin?
You know, wait. I think a crisis is the best opportunity to innovate. And if you don't innovate, you can be obsolete. So I would leave with that thought. And also refresh your core values and create a positive culture. I can't agree more with Charles when he says culture eats software for breakfast. It's very important. And as we get into these new paradigms of working, communicate often, right? Appreciate, recognize, and thank your people. You don't see them like in the pre-pandemic days, but do this in all your virtual forums. Stay connected, communicate, and keep the lines of communication open. And of course, adopt a security-first attitude.
Thank you, Ashwin and Trolls. And on these words of hope, I wish you again a very happy 2021. You have been listening to episode 4 of the Thales Security Sessions podcast. Our title today was Time for the Crystal Ball, What to Expect in 2021. Thank you for listening.
Love this episode of the Thales Security Sessions podcast? Search us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast service to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Be sure to visit us at cpl.thalesgroup.com to access previous episodes, bringing you insights from industry experts on the latest cloud and data security news and trends. Thank you for listening.